insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. Welcome to our program again, and inshallah we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of his verses. First, let's hear the verses.
مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ.
We had arrived at verse 106 and 107 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing a problem that was posed by the Jews, says, مَا نَنْسَخْ مِنْ آيَةٍ أَوْ نُنْسِهَا نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلِهَا. For any verse that we abrogate or remove from memories, we bring another which is better than it or similar to it. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Do not you know that Allah has power over all things? We'd mentioned, we were discussing in the previous session what the meaning of naskh is. And the meaning of naskh is where a law is put into a religion and then changed. And we said, if we look at the religion that is given to mankind from the beginning up to this point, naskh has happened on numerous different occasions. But also in one religion, like in Islam, we have the concept of naskh. We mentioned a few examples in the previous session. I want to mention an example in this session because this example is actually the one that caused the Jews to pose this problem, apparently. And that is the issue of the law regarding prayer. We know that the Muslims used to pray. That was one of the first laws that came that the Muslims have got to pray. The direction of their prayer was towards Jerusalem. That was the first law. Then in Medina, the first thing that the Jews did regarding that was they started making fun of the Muslims, and they started saying, this is not a religion from God. Your prophet has just copied some stuff off of us. Our religion is the right religion. So you guys are, and the sign for that is you're praying towards our Qibla. Jerusalem is our Qibla. So why are you guys praying towards our Qibla? That means that you don't have a religion. You're just copy-pasting some of the things in our religion. Otherwise, the true religion from God is our religion. Then the law came that, and we will discuss that in a few verses or further, we will have to discuss these issues. The verses discuss that. The Qibla, the direction that the people had to face when they were praying, changed to the direction of the Kaaba. When this happened, then they started posing another problem, saying, oh, if the first law was right, then why did that change? If you were supposed to pray towards Jerusalem, if that was good, then why did you change that to something else? And if praying towards the Kaaba is the right thing, then why were you guys praying towards Jerusalem in the first place, or the beginning? And all the stuff that you've done, all the amad you've done, all the actions that you've performed are going to be invalid. You're going to have to start all over again, and things like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in answering that, gives a very interesting explanation, which we would have to give. Before giving that explanation, I need to use this as a point to remind the listeners of something very important. There's a narration that one of the companions asked Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi about an this was, you know, after the Prophet had passed away, and this individual apparently did not live at that time. He only got in contact with the companions of the Prophet. Coming in contact with the companions of the Prophet, he realized that there's different views about very particular issues. You know, about certain issues, you see some of the companions are saying the Prophet said something, and then the other companions say the Prophet said something else. Now, what is mentioned in that hadith is that Salman and Abu Dhar say one thing about a particular issue, but the other companions say something else. So this individual that's asking Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, are those other companions lying, or are Abu Dhar and Salman lying? What's going on here? Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi says that in the same way that the Holy Quran has got nasikh and mansukh, where you have something that is said by the Holy Quran, then later on that is changed in the Holy Quran itself, then you have that and you find that in the sayings of the Holy Prophet as well. There were certain things that were said by the Prophet and they were supposed to be said. It was the right thing to say. It wasn't a mistake. Then later on that changed and the Prophet said, from now on you do this. Okay. Or this is the Islamic explanation from here on. The problem with those other companions, Amir al-Mu'mineen explains, is that they had heard about the mansukh, the one that had been changed later on. They had heard that statement from the Prophet, and they're not lying, they really heard that from the Prophet. But later on, the Prophet made another statement and said, that has changed to something else. They didn't hear that second part of it, and that's why there's a difference of opinion there. Now, what's the important point that I want to mention here? The important point is, brothers and sisters, it is great and it's very recommended that we go and increase our knowledge. We try to read the translation of the Holy Quran. We try to look at the tafasir. There's nothing wrong with that. However, we need to always consider this point, that what we read as the translation of one verse or the other verse, or when we read a hadith, okay, that does not mean this is all of what Islam has said and this is what we need to practice. Okay, especially when it comes to hadith, there's other aspects as well. Okay, the aspect of checking the reliability of the hadith, combining it with the other ahadith. There's a very huge package of verses and sayings of the Ahlul Bayt that have got to be put together in order to come to a valid understanding regarding sometimes a very simple issue from an Islamic perspective. Okay, we cannot say that an Islamic perspective is such and such just based on one verse that we have read and we think that we know everything. Okay, that is not the case. We need to refer to people who have gone through that thorough study and they've looked at the combination of all those verses and all the ahadith and all of that. One example that I can share with you is a question that was raised to me that the verse says, one of the verses of the Holy Quran says that if a person, a man, finds out that his wife has committed adultery, according to the verse of the Holy Quran, he's got to keep her in the house until, you know, either she dies or something else happens, until God does something else. That's what the verse says. They're trying to understand what that law is and things. And they probably based some judgment, or using that verse, they've made some judgment and explained certain things regarding the Islamic perspective on that. Well, that is not what Islam says regarding this issue. Okay, there's other verses that explain the law, what happens there. There's a hadith that explain it. The combination of all of it is something that we can say this is the Islamic perspective. There's many, many, many other examples as well. So at the same time that learning more about our religion and reading the verses of the Holy Quran, trying to understand them, reading the translations, looking at the tafasir, all that is great and we need to do that. However, we need to keep our minds open and we need to put this very important point in our mind that this, what I've understood, is my understanding of Islam. It could be wrong, and someone may, some scholar that has studied more, can come and tell me that for this reason or for that reason or for that hadith or for that verse, okay, because of these, what you have understood regarding this verse or regarding this issue from an Islamic perspective is actually not the correct one. We need to keep our minds open, and it's important that we do so. The explanation, inshallah, of the how nasakh could happen and what is our explanation for that, inshallah, can be explained in the following session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana.
لك الصلاة
لك الصلاة
والحمد من كل الحياة
يا ربنا لك الصلاة
لك الصلاة
والحمد من كل الحياة
من زهرة على الغصون لهفانة إلى نداك من دمعة على الجفون ضمانة إلى رضاك من بسمة على العيون والهانة إلى ضياء
يا ربناك
من زهرة على الغصون لهفانة إلى نداك من دمعة على الجفون ضمانة إلى رضاك من بسمة على العيون والهانة إلى ضياء
ربك
من تائب إلى حماك هللت خطاه من ضارع إلى علاك كبرت يداه من تائب إلى حماك هللت خطاه والحمد من كل الحياة
يا ربنا لك الصلاة
لك الصلاة
والحمد من كل الحياة
يا ربنا لك الصلاة
لك الصلاة
والحمد من كل الحياة